Ave crux spes unica, hail, O cross, our only hope. That is an ancient saying in the church, and one that might strike people as sounding a little odd. Why do we look to the cross? Why is that our only hope? Shouldn't we be looking instead to the resurrection and to eternal life? Of course we look to those things. But why do we look to the cross? Because that is the means of our salvation. That is the means of the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus told us in the gospel reading that when he is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all things to himself. And while we know that there are three times he was lifted up from the earth, the first on the cross, the second at the resurrection, the third at the ascension, he makes very clear, and St. John makes very clear, he said this to signify by what kind of death he was to die. It wasn't about the resurrection. It wasn't about the ascension and the glorification. It was when he is lifted up on the cross that he would draw all things to himself. He told us that he had to be like the serpent that Moses had raised up in the desert. Remember when the people were bit by the seraph serpent, Moses was told by God to make a bronze statue of a serpent, put it up on a pole. When the people would look at it, they would be healed. It is not in the resurrection that that happens. It is in the crucifixion that that happens. When our Lord was hung upon a tree, taking on our sins, having no sin of his own, but paying the price for ours. That's what this is all about. It is the cross which stands literally at the point of human history that is most important, the central point of human history. It is there that we look. Obviously, as we know, we wouldn't believe in our Lord if he didn't rise from the dead. And in the early church, we see that struggle even. You read in the Acts of the Apostles, you will see that St. Paul went into the Areopagus and he preached. Never once used our Lord's name. Never once spoke about the cross. Instead, he spoke about the resurrection. And they said, we'll need to hear you some other day about this. And it was from there that he went to Corinth, and while he was on the boat on the way to Corinth, he had thought about what happened in Athens. And when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I determined that I would speak to you about nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, he had just a few days before been speaking about the resurrection, and he determined that he would speak about nothing but our blessed Lord crucified. And he explained to them why. Because he said, the Jews look for signs and the Greeks look for wisdom. But for us, our Lord crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, one needs to look in a different way to be able to understand the cross. The church has made very clear to us, and as you see when you look directly forward, the crucifix must, it is not an option, the crucifix must be the center point in the church. It is not something to be put off to the side. It is not something secondary. It is central. Part of it, of course, because all of us are in this veil of tears. We are suffering, and we can unite ourselves with our Lord's suffering. It is in that that we can make some sense out of this suffering. By itself, it is senseless, but it is only when we look at it in the light of the suffering of our blessed Lord that we realize that God brings good out of evil. It is there that we realize that from the suffering of the cross, God frees us from those things which drag us down. This is why St. Paul said that I will speak of nothing but Jesus Christ crucified, because through the cross, he said, I have been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. So in other words, if we're going to truly live our Christian faith, if we're going to have our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, if we want to be with him for eternity, there is only one way to get there, and that is through the cross. The cross is like the doorway that opens to eternal life, and we must go through that doorway. If we are going to follow the Lord Jesus in this life, it is going to lead up Calvary through the cross to eternal life. And there is no other way. And that is what people must understand. Now, it is in that light that we also need to look at the situation in which we are presently living. We have seen in the last couple of weeks a series of absolutely horrific things, things that make no sense. And yet this latest one, the death of Charlie Kirk, has been something that has caused something entirely different to happen. As horrified as people are with the others, there's a different kind of reaction that is going on. And it's a fascinating thing to watch. As I listen to people who are old enough, they are likening what is going on in America to what happened at the death of John Kennedy. Most people aren't old enough to remember that anymore, so they're likening it to what happened to Martin Luther King as they're looking at civil rights things, because this one's about freedom of speech, and how the death of Martin Luther King actually galvanized everything and moved it forward. They're looking at this the same way. Others are saying it's like what happened at 9/11, that is the reaction of the people to what is happening. But I think we have to look at this even a different way. We remember what happened in Minneapolis back 5 years ago. They brought 75,000 people into the Twin Cities. They paid those people to go out onto the streets. And Minneapolis bears the scars of the places that were burned and looted and destroyed. But they had to pay them to come and do this. All around America, people of their own free will are coming to pray. The only fires that are started are vigil candles. Nothing else is being burned. And people are peaceful and they are praying. Just, I think it was yesterday or the day before, more than 1 million people in England took to the streets to pray. Something is very different. Something is happening. As disgusted and horrified as people are by children being gunned down in school and in church, millions of people didn't flock to pray. But something is going on. And I think it is in this light that we have to be able to prepare ourselves. I received a call yesterday from a convert to the faith who said, I think this might be the tipping point. For years, what I have said is that when all of these things happen, whatever is going to happen, we are going to get the best of the Protestants and they are going to get the worst of the Catholics. We get the better end of this deal. if we are watching what's been going on prior to this, we have to understand that right now, 9 out of every 10 people who are baptized Catholic leave the church. 90% of baptized Catholics leave the church. Worse than that, I say worse simply because a lot of them eventually will grow up and come back, but when they are asked, only 1/3 of those who were baptized Catholic will say, well, yeah, I'm Catholic. I don't go to church, I don't practice, but I'm Catholic. 2/3 of them are saying, no, I'm nothing. And yet, in the light of that, there is something extraordinary that has been happening. And I think what is about to happen is going to be way more extraordinary. But young people are flocking to the church. The number of baptisms of adults is skyrocketing. If I remember the number correctly, in France, it is a 600% increase in the number of people who want to be baptized. Now that's phenomenal, praise God, but then you have to remember in France only 2% of the people go to Mass. So still not quite what it ought to be, but praise God, look at what's going on. And I can tell you over the last couple of years, I have baptized more people receiving them into the church than I have in years previous. Most of the time there's 1 or 2, but it's been 4 and 5. And putting that in context, since I've come here, which is a much smaller parish, we have half the number of people taking the classes. And I'm baptizing twice as many. So something is going on. On top of that, we have the young people looking. They're searching because they have recognized that all of the false promises that have been made are exactly that, false. It's leaving them empty, and they're looking for the truth. And that's what they're desiring, is the truth. And what are we offering them? That's what we have to be about. We have to be prepared, as St. Peter told us, to present the faith, to defend it, to give an explanation for what we believe, is what he says. So we need to make sure that we are prepared for what is about to happen and what is happening. And I speak this in a special way to our young people. The teenagers, the 20s, the 30s, because it is people of your age that are seeking and that are coming to the church. If we have the influx of the Protestants, then it's everybody else better be prepared too, because it's going to be people of all ages. And we need to recognize what it is they need. For those who are already Protestant people, they are very well founded in Scripture. Oftentimes misunderstanding, yes, but they read the Bible every day. You're not going to wow them by your fancy explanations. You need to show them in the Bible where what we believe is the truth. And you need to point them to the cross, because they have already been focused on Jesus Christ raised from the earth. They look at the second and third time. They are looking at the resurrection and they're looking at the ascension. Jesus called us to the cross. They don't understand that. They've rejected that, not that they've rejected the cross, they've rejected being drawn to the cross because Jesus did all the suffering for us, so we don't have to. Then how do you explain your suffering? They're recognizing that something's missing. They're recognizing that they have been ripped off. They don't understand the nature of sacrifice. They don't understand the nature of suffering. They don't understand the nature of the cross. But you should. And that's where we need to point them. Not to ourselves, We don't have the answers. We need to point them to the cross. And we need to allow them to be drawn to Jesus, lifted up from the earth on the cross. They need to understand that. They need to experience it. They haven't denied it. They know that's the only means for the forgiveness of their sins. They just look at it as, but he's resurrected, so he's not on the cross anymore, so why do you Catholics have somebody on the cross when he's not on the cross? It's because that's where he draws us. That's our hope. That's our means to eternal life. And so we need several things. And we can actually learn this from Mr. Kirk, who, by the way, from all accounts, was on his way to becoming Catholic. His wife goes to daily Mass, and he has been joining her at Mass. They had their marriage validated relatively recently, and he was on his way. But he was asked, interestingly, about 2 years or so ago, with what you believe, why aren't you becoming Catholic? And he said, because of Pope Francis. It was his example and the fact that he was not teaching the truth and he was not living a good example that kept this man from becoming Catholic. And we know that the vast majority of people become Catholic because of the example of somebody who is Catholic. So we need to be that example. And if we can learn from him, there are a couple of things that we can look at. He approached things with humility. Man was brilliant. And he was able to argue with these kids, but he didn't judge them. He didn't condemn them. He just simply answered their questions, and he would present the truth. So we need to be humble. We need to have the truth, because that's what they're looking for. We need to point beyond ourselves, because their only hope is in Jesus Christ, and ours too. And we need to know that. We know it in our heads. We need to be living it. They need to see that example. So we need to embrace the faith, and we need to be living it so that we can be prepared to be the means to bring other people to the church. We need to be rooted in prayer. And we need to make sure that we are reading the scriptures, and we need to make sure that we are living the faith. Pray for that grace. What these people do not need is entertainment. That's what they've gotten for years. And our young people, with modern technology, they can have entertainment 24 hours a day from professionals. They don't need a group of kids standing in front of the church with a guitar screaming out something. They need Jesus. And they need the things that are going to lead them to the Lord, not into themselves. Kumbaya isn't going to cut it. But at the same time, again, we need to be very careful. Don't be condemning. Be positive. Point them to the truth. You don't have to tell them everything else is a lie. Just point them to the truth. It'll be obvious everything else is a lie. I like to remind people, if someone is hired by the Federal Reserve, not a good place, but nonetheless, if somebody's hired there, the first couple of days of work, all they do is have these people sit there and just make a pile of bills. And then pick up the pile and do it again, and then pick up a pile and do it again. And the whole idea is to get them accustomed to what real bills feel like. And after a couple of days, they'll put a fake one in. And as the person's going through that pile, suddenly they notice this one doesn't feel right. Point them to the truth. Speak the truth with charity and with humility. They'll figure out the rest. If they have questions, answer them, yes. Point something out if they ask, is this right? Or, then of course you can point that out. But we don't need to stand in condemnation. We need to stand with the truth. And the truth is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And we need ourselves to be drawn to Jesus lifted up from the earth, and that is where we need to bring others, to point them there, and to help them to understand what is happening on the altar. It is the sacrifice of our Lord, and it is his resurrection and his ascension and his glorification. It is all of it. That's what they need. That is what we need. And it all flows from the cross. What appears so horrible, the death of our God. We pass judgment on God and we put him to death. And the very tree on which he died has blossomed forth to become the tree of life, so that we can be washed in the water coming from his side, so that we can be nourished by the blood coming from his wounds, so that our sins can be forgiven by his precious blood that poured down upon the cross. That is where our life comes from, and that is why the cross is our only hope.